Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We feel strong about right and wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
Right.
And that real American himself, Pete Donaldson.
I'm a real American hero.
Are you okay, Jim?
I'm fine.
Quietly cowering in the corner. Well, Chelsea, they've come under fire for their elaborate blow, a send-off they gave John Terry.
Oh, it was.
You always call it an elaborate blow off.
I worked for the comical effect.
That's a start as you mean to go on.
Yeah. That's road. Yeah.
We're going to have to give us a 12 plus rating on that.
Garth Crooks was bemused by the whole thing.
Oh, I've got more on Garth later, actually.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll leave that there then.
He's generally bemused, isn't he? But this time it was fairly justified.
Well, actually, I quite enjoyed Garth being bemused because normally he's angry.
The bit I've got on him later is anger.
Yeah, I was there. See?
Yeah. It ticks all the boxes.
Reverts back to that.
Yeah.
Well, if you were in charge of arranging John Terry's send off, what would you have done, Jim?
Well, clearly, John Terry himself had a big say in all of this, which is amazing, really, when you think about it. So I would have continued that theme and done a lot of the stuff for him and basically turned the game into him hosting his own version of This Is Your Life. But he would have got Sunderland to, like, recreate his favourite moments. Because they're complicit in this, aren't they? They're absolutely fine with just kicking the ball out and just making a mockery of a proper game.
Guns for hire.
And would the final bit say, would he say to David Moore, you don't mind just chucking it in there.
Resign. Do him a favour. Just resign.
Bookend it.
Because they sound so upset, those fans. They're not happy with you.
Yeah.
And he'd be mic'd up as well, like running around the pitch just talking about stuff. He'd have guests on.
And what about a Madonna-type Vogue mic?
I wonder about that. I think he might like to be handicapped and actually have a proper mic that he's holding.
Because
he's directing play anyway. If he doesn't get a header from a corner, Sunderland will just knock it out again.
Yeah.
And he can get the glory.
Also, if he's holding the mic and perhaps put him in some sort of 70s-style suit, it'll look a bit like a charity telethon.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Just sort of like a 70s version of a Chelsea kit, obviously. Yeah. Flared socks somehow.
I mean, John Terry is the 70s version of a man, so... Yeah.
And he's as slow as a man who's in his 70s.
Had a very, very successful career, gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We'll have an ounce of respect for that.
You invented this bloody question, Sunshine.
Jim, are you finished?
Yeah. I am.
Yeah, okay.
This Is Your Life with John Terry.
Yeah, live on the pitch, him dictating absolutely everything.
Sunderland just.
Well, exactly.
It's not taking it to its logical
conclusion. Really.
I was going to say, if you were at the meeting when that was decided, because it was decided before the match, I think.
Yeah.
If you'd have said that, I think they would have gone for it.
Yeah.
Like the Harlem Globetrotters, one of them was always mic'd up.
Is that true?
Yeah, I saw them once, many, many years ago, Murrayfield Ice Rink for all those in Edinburgh.
What's a ninth history?
And it was the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah, one of them was mic'd up.
Was just gone?
Wow. That was before. No.
What a 90s story that
getting
is.
High on push pops beforehand.
There you go. Luke.
I've rolled a few ideas around in my mind here. Right. Obviously, a lot of the stuff with John Terry you can't use on broadcastable stuff, so it's difficult. Mm-hmm. I've settled on...
He won Dad of the Year, that wasn't...
I'd have got the Beano.
He did win Dad of the Year.
That was with Daddy's Sauce as well, Brown Sauce, sponsored that one.
Yep.
So, I think I'd have got the Beano to draw a big cartoon for him and put it on the big screen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's the most sensible idea.
What's the name of the artist and the Beano, Pete?
What do you mean? Oh, I don't know.
This is your thing.
What?
The artist from the Beano.
Not the artist from the Beano. The Bash Street Kids. You only knew the Bash Street Kids.
Inadvertently named
from the Beano.
Yeah. You've inadvertently named Jim's idea there, because it wouldn't be This Is Your Life, it would be This Is Your Thing for John Terry.
It would be.
This is your thing.
I would get them to do a big cartoon of John Terry doing a, scoring and like a Roy the Rovers type thing.
Yeah.
And play it on the big screen before the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd do.
There you go, you see. Yeah. Conservative answer.
Speaking of the Beano, didn't we get an email from a blog a few days ago? DC Thompson and Co. at hotmail.com saying, "Hi Pete, would you like to be in the Beano?"
when are you in?
I don't know. Well, they've not got back to me, to be honest.
Oh. Jimmy emailed himself. He's basically Pete doing it.
What?
We got a forward to our email inboxes with just a subject line. Told ya.
Yeah. Peter, what's your answer to this question concerning John Terry and his send off?
21 gun salute. At John Terry, paintball. Job done.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not job done, is it? Because you've not explained it.
Right.
Well, I don't think he can explain it.
End up with John Terry in bits.
There we go. There it is.
Bennett, man.
Yeah.
I suppose it would send him off in one way.
Yeah. How?
It's what he would have wanted.
Oh, no. Yeah. Do you think that would make the sort of viewing figures abroad better or worse?
I don't know.
They wouldn't have resumed the game.
No, they wouldn't have.
No.
Pete, you've dragged it into the gutter yet again.
Yeah.
Not the gutter. I've dragged him into the munitions department.
Dragged him into the trenches. Yeah. I would have a proper send-off after the game. because that's when it should have happened, after the game, or before the game. I've gone after the game. And I would ask Diana Ross to come along and, yeah, and do it, because she obviously, she missed that penalty in the 1994...
Yeah, more 90s chat.
Fine, what's wrong with that?
No, nothing wrong with it, mate.
In the 1994 build-up to the World Cup, in the opening ceremony, she obviously famously missed that penalty. So I'd say, Diana, you've got a chance now to put that right. But then I'd grease the penalty spot,
yeah,
and she'd run up and slip, thus recreating John Terry's moment in the Champions League final.
Did he hit the post?
He did hit the post, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right, and he cried.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the goal exploded, or was that Diana
Ross? Yeah, that was Pete.
So there we are. I think Jim's got the points. No, actually,
well, you can't give him to Pete, because none of us endorse that.
You guys have gone soft, lads.
You can't say anything these days.
No, you really can't.
Pete's gone mad.
Absolutely ridiculous. In the Premier League, it was the last day of the 2016-17 season. Oh, it's been and gone.
Thank God
been
for that.
Been and gone in the Premier League. Arsenal, they won on the last day, Jim.
Yeah,
wonderful
showed
stuff.
Everyone, didn't it?
No fourth place fairy tale for Big Ben and those guns.
No.
And no FA Cup final for Lonka Shelny.
No, because that was a interesting decision, wasn't it? Obviously very fired up for the game.
Enter Garth Crooks.
So.
Garth Crooks got absolutely gutted about this. Did you see it on Final Score?
No, I didn't see this.
He was fuming with Lonka Shelny for not leaving the pitch. And Martin Keown was on the sofa next to him, was trying to make it clear to Garth that Koscielny was trying to check if it was Valencia, wasn't it? And Valencia,
yeah. Yeah.
Trying to check if Valencia was okay, and that's why he wasn't leaving the pitch. Every time Keown tried to say it, Garth was going, Excuse me, Martin. And then at the end, Keown just went, and Keown, I mean, Martin Keown's weird. Do you know what I mean? But next to Garth, he looks like George Clooney.
Yeah.
So he And
Kevin Kilbane must love it, because he comes across.
Well, Kilbane was next, just laughing.
Yeah,
just laughing.
I quite like Kilbane. Yeah. Actually, I think, but he looks even more like brilliant next to him.
Kilbane's just having a lovely day out.
Yeah,
just cracking.
Can't
up.
Believe his
these
luck.
These two like two bald men fighting over a coat.
Well, Garth just sounds constantly like he's discovered something. I can't believe it. This is off the scale.
Yeah. That is the best description of Garth Crooks I've ever heard.
If you didn't know who he was and you had to guess, you'd probably say like scientist that gets brought out to speak on the news. I mean, you wouldn't think he's an ex-footballer.
Just because of his
strange manner. He's quite eccentric, isn't he?
He's like that historian. Is it something Starkey?
David Starkey.
David Starkey.
He's got a bit of that.
Again, though, he used to be a really good, quick, nippy footballer, didn't he?
Crooks was a great player.
But you can still be a quick, nippy footballer and be a weirdo, mate. Well, as we've seen from yourself.
When Koscielny made that challenge, which was a hilarious final day of the season challenge, did you see Granit Xhaka straight over there?
Yeah, he was.
Granit Xhaka was straight over there. It was almost like Granit Xhaka was saying, come on, ref, I do worse than that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, let's have some perspective. Yeah. Just me here,
If you're going to send him off like that, I'm going to walk as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
But what's incredible is how little Everton made of their numerical advantage.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah,
you wouldn't really know.
One or two people said, were they sort of subconsciously going slightly easy because it would have helped Liverpool?
Well, from what I've heard from David Moyes, mate, that never happens.
Oh,
there's never once been an instance of anything outside.
Definitely didn't happen when they were at home to Man City that time, when Man City and
your man Ronnie was disappointed, wasn't he? Or Koeman.
Ronnie, of course he will be.
Yeah,
but he made out that he was disappointed about the result, but I think he was disappointed because he had made a real point by dropping Barkley and then he had to bring him on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they were also up to the they had got the memo and they brought Davis off in the 26th minute.
Yeah, another player.
In honour of John Terry, presumably. Yeah. No other side.
Was there a sub in every game?
It should have been.
Well, another player playing in blue wearing 26 and got subbed off in the 26th minute. That's
strange.
A weird coincidence.
That is
very,
really weird.
Very strange.
But Davis wasn't injured. Was it a tactical thing?
Well, apparently so, yeah.
Strange, isn't
Very
it? 26 minutes.
That clearly didn't work. Like, quite profoundly didn't work.
But it's not like he took off a defender. I understand Barkley perhaps is a little bit more attacking than Davis, but it's an odd one, that.
I'll be honest here. I assumed it was an injury because I thought there's no way Koeman's going to make a point of not starting Barkley and bringing him on after 25.
Well, look, if it was an injury, then I hold my hands up. But there was no... I couldn't find that anyway.
No, fair enough.
Well,
it didn't work either way, whatever happened.
Yeah. Well, we talked about Sanchez and Lukaku going for the golden boot and Harry Kane.
I made an absolute bellend of myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, but Harry Kane then scored what, four goals against Leicester?
He scored seven goals in two games
in the last two. Yeah. I'll have.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I'll leapfrog the pair of you. But to be fair, though, all joking aside, it was actually a decent win for Arsenal because they were down to 10 men, and actually they looked like they could have scored four or five.
Yeah, they did what they had to do. I mean, if you put yourself in a position where you're relying on the teams in 19th and 17th, by the end of the last day, then you know you
can't
really.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, well, you can't really. You can't really. complain, can you? And it's amazing. We've got more points and more goals than last season. And 75 points is a record for a team finishing fifth. And we had 71 last year and finished second. Yeah, which shows you how profoundly different these seasons have been.
Well, that would have been sixth this season.
Mad.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Yeah.
Well, that ties into the whole Leicester City winning
quite
last season, but you know they still got it.
Sky Sports News were excellent today because they were doing a lot on the fact that Stan Kroenke had turned down the offer from Usmanov, and they were obviously covering that. And they said, but we've got some good news for Arsenal fans. They've had an offer accepted for a 19-year-old Belgian striker.
Hey. You know what? I think we might have to sort of, being in the Europa League is obviously going to affect the transfers or the transfer strategy a lot. So I think we're going to have to start looking at younger prospects and maybe sort of perhaps undervalued.
How can it change?
That hasn't actually happened that much in recent years. They've not been signing sort of the young prospects in the way they did. Uh-huh. So I think they might just sort of have to return to that a little bit.
The player they're after, Henry Onyekuru, he was a joint top scorer in the Belgian league this season for like quite a small club. And I dug a little bit down about him, and he was joint top scorer with Anderlecht's Lukas Teodorosic. But because Teodorosic got more away goals, he got given the golden boot.
Is that what they do?
I've never heard of that before.
Wow.
Have you? It normally goes per minute, doesn't it? Like, how many goals per minute, or assists, or something like that?
They can work that out nowadays, can't they?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
But he got more away goals, so he got the
ball. There was that horrible situation in, was it the 2010 World Cup? Or 2010 when Müller was given the golden boot, when about four or five players finished on four or five goals.
Yeah.
And because he had the most assists, he got it. I thought, that's nonsense.
Yeah, that's stupid.
He could have all of the... Yeah, exactly. It's a completely different discipline.
That's the other golden boot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you take your invoker with a completely separate skill into it. Yeah.
And also...
He's the best at cooking pasta, so he gets it.
He might as well.
He's a great singer.
Yeah. You'd be better off saying, well, who scored the most goals in off the bar?
Yeah. I'd actually be in favour of that.
Yeah, of course, I
think goals off the bar are a lot better.
Yeah, as we saw at Barcelona.
Yeah.
Arsenal won, they finished fifth. I mean, will Wenger use that when he signs a new contract saying, well, it was record-breaking?
Yeah.
I think it might be an idea.
John Motson was funny on the match of the day as well.
Just leave it there.
He said, these Arsenal fans, they'll be glued to their transistor radios.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Amazing.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Just in case they get the four-minute warning. Yeah. You know?
I'm not allowed to say DAB anymore.
Deary me. But of course, Arsenal, they didn't finish fourth because Liverpool beat Middlesbrough 3-0. The Reds did their job.
Certainly did. I was watching that game, obviously supporting Middlesbrough, which is a strange feeling. And they just fell apart in Liverpool's half, like every
time. So familiar then.
I mean, just over the halfway line.
Well, they should have had a penalty.
Oh, absolutely, they should have.
But I find it funny, Jimmy, that you watch them for a game, or obviously you're an Arsenal fan, and you watch them for a game, and you just you sounded exhausted saying that.
They've had
it all season.
Of course.
You know, Patrick Bamford, he could have had a penalty.
A friend of mine who's a big Liverpool fan, he sent me a message before the Liverpool game. He takes it quite seriously.
Right.
Yeah, Liverpool fans can be very earnest, can't they? They can be.
Football fans.
He sent me a message 20 minutes before kickoff saying, one last nail-biter, then three-ish months of well-deserved break from football. I'm sick of the game and the way it messes me up.
it should be fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like he needs a stomach tablet.
I do.
Yeah, if you're watching something, it's a bit like someone who watches, I don't know, a soap or a drama or something, and they go, oh, I hate this. Well, stop watching it then.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
They did labour a little bit. I mean, obviously, the goal was really important just before half time. There was a really clumsy challenge on Bamford. He could have had a penalty.
Yeah.
And that could have set the frighteners up and end.
It would have, but I don't think they'd have won the game. Liverpool just had too much. They just needed to get their nerves out of the way, get that first goal. And they were pounding Middlesbrough. I mean, a lot of it was shots from distance, and Brad Guzan wasn't really unnecessary, like, too, you know, badly challenged before that.
What a goal it was, though, from Ronaldo.
That's great, yeah.
I think Ronaldo's had a fairly decent season at Liverpool, actually. He's made that transition because they obviously signed him from Newcastle. And I've got to say, I did think, you know, he's a decent player, obviously. Would he go, you know, regularly play in that Liverpool side under Klopp? I mean, obviously they signed him, but it's got to be go down as a good season for Ronaldo.
I think Liverpool, I maintain this, and I've said this quite a lot more recently, I think Klopp's done really well for the squad they've got, and I think now it's a really big summer ahead of them because they're clearly moving into Champions League football, and there was a time, maybe not so long ago, where it didn't matter they weren't in Champions League football so much because they're such a big club anyway. It was very romantic and glamorous for players to sign for them. Now they're in the Champions League, presuming they get through in the playoff. They need to sign players to really kick on. And it's a massive summer for a club that big because now they've almost like they've gone on for so long about how being back at this top table again. Now they're there. that Klopp's now got to do what essentially he has promised to do.
I think you're absolutely right, because if you look at that squad, it's decent. The manager's obviously a good manager. They finished in the top four there. Good season. That's a good season for Liverpool. You couldn't see them without one or two significant changes going on and finishing above the likes of Spurs and Chelsea next season.
I enjoyed the post-match interviews I saw, one from Klopp and one from Milner, and they both seemed to say, look, you know, they weren't sort of cock-a-hoop about it. Milner particularly. I mean,
he's very pragmatic.
He's quite drab anyway, but he was saying, look, I came here to win trophies. I'm here to... fine, we've done the minimum requirement. Mm-hmm. Let's move on now. And Klopp was sort of similar in his sentiment as well. So clearly they're not treating it as a summit, which is important. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, look, they've finished above Arsenal and Manchester United, so that's good goings. They were just edged out by Guardiola's Manchester City. Spurs and Chelsea are the pace setters. I mean, Spurs have finished the season as the best side in England, you would say, but obviously Chelsea's earlier season form with those 13 wins on the bounce.
Well, Chelsea won 30 games this season.
Which is a record, isn't it?
But that is a message to any manager. Sort of, just get them firing early and get them fired. Give that bedrock to kind of kick on.
I like the fact that I like the stat of the 30 wins is a record, but I'd like to know if a three draws is a record for a title winning side, because that seems like a very low amount of draws. Mm. When Arsenal went undefeated, they drew quite a lot of games.
A lot of games.
So I'll be interested in knowing that. No one's telling me that.
I think you're absolutely right, because you know the 93 points and the 30 wins is phenomenal. But like hardly any draws. Unlike old Mourinho, United, you know. But their neighbours, Man City, got a good win at Watford. I mean, I say a good win. I think if we'd have formed an 11, we'd have had a chance.
what a romp!
No centre backs.
Yeah, David Moyes is looking at this guy. My God, City are rampant.
Do you reckon he's giving Watford a call?
If you want to play that bad in the Premier League every week,
I remember our chat on Thursday talking about, you know, players are always playing for their future. Well. It's that sort of attitude that's got them to where they are today. But one thing is real positive for Man City is they'll have Wilfred Bonny back from his explosive loan at Stoke this season. In which he scored two goals all season and couldn't force his way into a front line containing a 36-year-old Peter Crouch and a 29-year-old Mame Baramdjouf, who's managed 21 Premier League goals his entire career.
There you go.
How bad has Bonny been?
True. Crouchy, not bad, though. He finished with 10, didn't he, for the season?
Great.
He scored a lovely goal, climbing all over the fullback. Yeah. Lovely to see.
Isn't he, I think this was on Match of the Day, is he not now the player to score the most headers in the Premier League?
That happened before. Unless someone's taken it back off him, he had that record for a while.
He did have that record. Yeah. I think he was about four above Shearer.
Yeah.
But still, though, you know, using his height.
Yeah, why not?
Using his size.
He's got a good height for a big man.
Yeah, do you think Guardiola's marking on his calendar when Wilfred Bonny's reporting back to training? Bonny Day. Hashtag Bonny Day. Yeah. We're going to have a party.
I think he's on the phone to Stoke going, who else you got up front? Crouch, most headed goals. Well, we don't have a plan B or C.
The great thing about Bonny is he got two goals all season. They're both against Swansea.
Game. Yeah, right. Bonny, he's clearly a decent player, but he's just not worked out for him season.
That's the danger, isn't it, when players... particularly in January, they might move to the big clubs, backing themselves. Demba Ba was an example of that as well when he went to Chelsea from Newcastle, and it worked for a bit, and then just it fell away, and off he went. And you feel for these players, but
he ruined Liverpool's title bid before.
He did do that. That's true.
I can't remember the exact quote, but there was a brilliant quote from Bonny when I think it was probably when he was away for the African Cup of Nations. And he was asked about why he was not getting in the Stoke side or whatever, and the newspaper reported him saying, "I don't know what's happening. It's a farcical situation." I was like, Bonny didn't say that. He did not say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's not going to get much joy at Manchester City if there's talk of Sergio Aguero maybe being dropped for Gabriel Jesus. So Bonny's days, you would imagine, would be numbered there, so he'd probably be off. But it's interesting for Man City, like this talk of Sergio Aguero and so on and so forth.
Isn't it?
I mean, surely there's room for Aguero in that side.
Also his best return goals-wise. I think it's his best return in his entire time there.
I think are people assuming that Jesus has been signed as a replacement? Because even Gabriel Jesus has been saying this week, I really don't want him to go. He's brilliant. You know, I'm learning a lot from him.
Or maybe he just wants to move on. But Ian Acho's been linked away as well. So they're going to need to strengthen at some point.
Yeah, I'd say Zabaleta going to West Ham. That's a decent sign for West Ham.
He's been an amazing servant for them.
It appears to be, doesn't it? We'll see.
And then...
I was just going to say he's hugely popular with Man City fans, Zabaleta, right? So like, really heart, real heart on his sleeve type player, isn't he? You
know? Very much so, yeah. And Clichy says that he'll be off.
There's a lot of good buys this weekend all over Europe, wasn't
absolutely,
there?
Absolutely,
really?
But the summer will be interesting at Manchester City. It always is, because they've got a big chequebook, of course, and Guardiola does like to...
But the interesting quote to take from what Guardiola said from this weekend's football is, he was asked about how they can improve next season, and he said, we just weren't ruthless enough. which actually is the opposite of what I thought he'd say.
Yeah.
It's basically to strengthen defensively. Mm.
But it does tell you a lot about his philosophy, though, doesn't it?
Which he doesn't care about defending.
He's
he said earlier in the season, didn't he? I don't coach my players.
But he says that, though. But he was making kissy faces at Bonucci before he signed a longer-term deal at Juventus, which any manager ever would want Bonucci in their side, of course.
Did you see old Pep's sweat patches as well?
Get him lasered.
Leaking like a sieve, Dawson. Leaking like Dawson pre-operation. How's that working out for you, by the way?
All right, it's been all right. It's still the best money I've ever spent, to be honest. Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's saying something.
The best money I've ever spent. I bought some absolute nonsense. There was an advert for Clavinovas. In the sale at like the Yamaha shop around the corner.
Electronic keyboard type thing.
Yeah, remember I bought two pianos?
Yeah.
And they were like, they're on sale. I was like, oh, hello.
How much?
Well, cheaper than you would usually spend on a Clavinova.
Well, I understand the concept of a sale.
Yeah.
I'm asking how much it was.
Yeah, well, I think they were down to something like £450, Luke.
cheaper, twice the price. Yeah. How many did you get?
Yeah. They're on sale. How much? Well, they were cheaper than they were before. Yeah, I know what a sale is.
So don't you know how much those items normally are? Yeah.
Like, well, whatever I tell you, you're going to go, is that a good price for a Clavinova or not? Because you don't know, do you?
Whatever you're going to say, we're going to go, you're an absolute mug.
Pete, on that theme, a lot of listeners won't remember the two pianos. Farce. Can you remind us of what actually happened?
I bought my friend a piano, but I'd accidentally bidded on two of them, and I received two pianos.
And that's
they were technically Clavinovas, but they're really heavy 80s
ones.
Stop
saying Clavinova.
No.
That's only half the story, because the other part of the story is, do you remember this, is that he had two pianos, didn't need them, so he tried to sell one, and the day he tried to sell it, he dropped it down the stairs.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Like a cartoon man.
Yeah. That's a write-off.
What did you do with it? How did you get rid of a smashed piano?
I think one of them went to a church.
Brilliant.
Yeah. There so enjoy that high C.
On the armpit.
God.
On the armpit operation. On the armpit operation.
Yeah, you can bring it back
let's
to that.
Let's get on my greatest hits. Don't go back to football.
No, I just want one final question.
Right.
Greatest hits.
I had five people.
The great thing about that pump from Jim is because he couldn't get out quick enough to just drink some water. Can I just say, when you had your operation done to remove the sweat glands from under your arms?
I didn't remove it. They lasered them. So there was no, like, they injected me with a numbing ointment.
I apologise.
And then they lasered me.
Can I just talk about somebody injecting Pete with something?
I know. Yeah. Can I just the final question is: was there a shelf life on it? Was there an understanding it's only going to last for a certain amount of time?
No, that's the thing. It's gone. Done.
Gone now.
Right, done.
Okay.
Gone.
Okay. Anyway, Guardiola needs a bit of that. He can definitely afford it.
Yeah.
He just stopped wearing blue shirts.
You remember the Spain coach in it was 2002 World Cup? I forget who it was. Yeah, terrible trouble under there. I mean, to be fair, he was in a very hot climate, but that was quite a media story in his homeland.
You're a man who can suffer.
The whole lot goes for me. So you think it's the same colour? Actually, that's the trick. You're all or nothing there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be halfway with that kind of nonsense.
Full coverage.
But yes, Watford will have a new manager probably quite soon, and another manager probably. Quite soon after that.
They'll be queuing up.
The commentators are meant to be impartial, obviously, but they are meant to be descriptive of what's going on. Watford were absolutely woeful, is what the commentator said after the game.
But
that's scathing. Have you ever heard a commentator that scathing?
Mick McCarthy in a World Cup.
Well, okay, true.
Yeah, do you remember it was he even said something like, I know we're supposed to big these games up, but this has been awful.
It's amazing.
That was the same game where he started.
It was a game he was managing.
He started off that game, and it was a game, it was something like Ireland against Liechtenstein or something. And he said at the start of that game, just to let everyone know, I can't pronounce a left back's name, so I'm just going to call him left back. In the first minute of the game.
Just right down phonetically.
Yeah. You've seen the packs they get given.
Yeah.
With all
No,
thanks. Foreign muck, not having it.
Yeah. I love a bit of that. Yeah. We're going to talk more Premier League after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's time for emails with Pete Donaldson.
Yes, I heard the show last week. Somebody having a dig about I'm very slow with getting my emails out. So here's the email. Shut up, everyone. Ian.
Who's Ian? Well done, you're doing your job.
Yeah, Pete, Ian.
Can I just... We've got the predictions.
Don't slow down the emails. The emails ain't never going to stop.
Have you got the predictions ready?
Yeah, I've got the predictions with me.
Okay. They're coming in a bit. Right, go on.
I'm just trying to save time for later.
For later. That's what your nickname is. Hello, Ramblers. When I was a kid growing up in Anfield in the 80s, John Barnes used to stay in the flat above the dentist round the corner from my house before matches.
Ooh.
Or at least that was the rumour.
Who was it?
What a weird rumour. You know that dentist? Yeah, round the corner from my house. Yeah, John Barnes lives there. Yeah.
That's amazing. There was one in my hometown that Tupac worked in a chip shop in Hornchurch.
Right.
The guy who said that thought you were an idiot if you didn't believe it.
My mate Tommy, West Ham fan, he's from Epping. Mm. And he said that he maintains that when he was a kid, he won a pair of tickets to a West Ham game through like Junior Hammers or whatever, something like that. And he said he maintains to this day that one day when he won the tickets, they were hand delivered through his letterbox by Tim Breaker, who's like playing for the first game. Yeah.
Seriously,
oh, is that on your way Tim home? Breaker. Can you pop in?
Anyway, one year when my mate and I were doing Penny for the Guy outside the local video shop, John Barnes actually gave us a quid as he was leaving the dentist.
As much as that.
So there we go.
He just gave you a quid when you were leaving the dentist.
It's not a quid, it's a penny, John.
Which felt a big deal at the time because no one gave that much. We were just happy to see John Barnes.
So he did live above the dentist, maybe.
No one gave that much, a pound. Well, this is in the 16th century.
Yeah, I like this one. Michael! Hello, Michael. He says, I thought I'd add my story to the football generosity charts, although I reckon that this one should come in at the bottom for the pile of the pile for the sheer footballing crime. A good few years back, I was at my local sports store when Birmingham captain Jeff Kenner came in
and started
looking at the boots. I was there with my dad, also looking at the boots. He joked that he'd been looking at sofas in the shop next door, but Trevor Francis's wife, the then Blues manager's wife, had come in. He wanted to get some extra points by seeing to be looking at the boots.
What?
So he ran next door and looked at the boots, apparently.
According to
Jeff Kenner.
And he's only looking at sofas. He's not like looking at bongs or something. Yeah.
that sofa looks a bit comfortable. Don't want you getting fat.
Imagine he's not like he was buying a poster with a I like the Pope smoked soap on it.
Take me to your dealer. And it's his wife.
Yeah.
As if the wife's going to say, you know that Jeff Kenner?
Yeah.
He likes to sit down.
Yeah, he's full of himself. Yeah, new sofa.
L-shaped sofa. Yeah, get a load of that.
Sell him.
He thinks he's the king.
Yeah.
Imagine there's only one sofa at our club, and it's mine, the manager's.
Yeah.
Imagine how shocked I was when I found out that the following weekend, in the same store, my mate got bought a brand new pair of Nike Vapors by Blues player Olivier Tebili. I can't remember him.
Tebili. Yeah, okay.
To rub salt in the wound, he was wearing a Villa shirt at the time. So there we go. Michael. Following on
story.
From your chat, this is Ollie, following on from your chat about Carlisle's bizarre goal difference of almost zero, yet them being in the playoffs of League Two, I thought I'd mention the bizarre situation of my beloved Norwich City finishing in their highest ever league league position of third in the first Premier League season with a goal difference of minus four.
Yeah, amazing.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah.
This is a thread that interests me. I'd like to hear more of that.
Yeah. Heavy losses to Blackburn at 7-1, Spurs 5-1 and Liverpool 4-1 didn't help matters.
Still, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, third.
Third.
Yeah.
I mean, Norwich third is as crazy as it is.
So if you can think of any more, like relegated teams with high goal difference or...
Canaries on their perch.
That was with Chris Sutton and Raul Fox, wasn't it?
No, you're going off piece there, Jim. I can't remember. He's not that good.
He might be right. Maybe Robert Fleck. Should we throw him on? Brian Gunn must have been
they
there.
They played Bayern Munich in Europe, didn't they, famously? And Robert Fleck was there. And Jeremy Goss played. Is that all the emails?
That's all the emails. I have got highlight of the week for later on. Okay.
You don't take it to the end of the emails, but I just put some down.
The folded arm lets it fizzle out. The folded arm.
If you want to get involved, show@thefootballramble.com. Email us. Let us know about goal difference and Nike vapors.
Yeah, amazing.
And footballers buying sofas.
Yeah, behind me, O'Reilly. Where are we? Oh, yes, Sunderland. Chelsea 5, Sunderland 1. David Moyes' Sunderland nightmare is finally over.
Yay.
He woke himself up.
Yeah. Deary me. They took the lead after 3 minutes.
That was funny, wasn't it?
Is it fair to say that David Moyes' biggest contribution to this season was arranging for his own team to get the ball out 26 minutes in so John Terry could have a send off?
That's the only thing.
That's genuinely right, isn't it?
That's the only thing that will make a montage this season.
And he's resigned. And that's
with his head held high.
It's like he suddenly thought to myself, yeah, I have it rock bottom here. I cannot do anything more here.
I threatened violence on a woman.
Yeah.
And it's got worse.
And relegated a team.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. He went to Sunderland to rebuild his reputation.
He did.
Yeah.
With what, the fans or the women?
The Big Sam power vacuum.
This is worth bearing in mind. He's only 4 years into his 6-year United contract. He's essentially been sacked 3 times.
Yeah. He didn't take any money out of Sunderland for resigning, so... Well, actually, yeah, thinking about that, that's not really a big deal, is it?
When you say taking money out of Sunderland, I see him, like, going to the cash point at, like, 1 minute to midnight and then quickly getting out of town.
Yeah. I mean, given the layoffs, that's the least he could do. He can't be going, look, sack them dinner ladies, I want my compensation.
Yeah. but he resigned, he didn't get sacked.
No, but
that's what I mean, though.
You can imagine Moyes going in to collect his things and thinking, yeah, everyone there looks really gutted. I was thinking, yeah, gutted he didn't do it in February, mate. Because Sunderland always flirt with relegation and change the manager around that sort of time, and it's always fine.
You've been saying we were going to get relegated since August. Why didn't you quit then?
Yeah. but
Michael Gray had a really interesting exclusive on the TV today. Michael Gray came on, they asked him about the Sunderland situation when the news broke that he'd resigned. At least he knew for a fact that two players knocked on David Moyes' door the day before Sunday's game, refusing to play.
Wow.
Saying, don't pick me, I don't want to play. And the interviewer asked Michael Gray, can you tell us who they are? And Mickey Gray didn't want to tell him, but he eventually said one of them was Lamina Kone.
Really?
Right.
He doesn't want to say who the other one was, but one of them
I've
was
got
Lamina
an idea
Kone.
Who the other one was, yeah. But there we are.
Yeah. So, to be fair to Moyes, I mean, that's pretty poor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Moyes, no wonder Moyes wanted to let Terry have his send-off. My players don't want to play anymore.
Well and truly lost the dressing room at that point. It's the best thing for both parties.
Just thought I'd drop it now. Jermaine Defoe's reportedly talking to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Because he can leave on a free.
Is everyone going to Bournemouth?
I think so.
Is that what's going on?
It's a lovely spot. It's a lovely place.
Yeah, it really is nice.
Yeah. Not too bad.
I mean,
although apart from the stag do's on a Saturday.
Yeah. I know, it's
you
got,
get
it's
that
got,
in most places now.
It's got terrible Bournemouth, though. Really bad. Oh. Yeah, last time I was there, I noticed that.
Were you a part of the problem last time you were there?
Where went for mine, wasn't it? But with the John Terry send-off thing, I mean, I don't want to go too over the top about it, but it was pretty poor, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. It's pretty. Do you guys remember? Not much has been made of this, and I forgot to say this to you guys earlier. 2015, I think it was, they did the same with Drogba. After half an hour, Drogba was subbed off, and they all carried.
Guard of honour.
They all carried him off.
Right.
Do you not remember? It wasn't a guard of honour, but they all carried him off.
But the difference was, and this is.
It wasn't Drogba's idea.
It wasn't Drogba's idea. No, the difference was, is that looked quite a spontaneous kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas all the talk was, and that's what Kilbane was saying and co. That this was contrived, and if it's contrived, and if it was completely planned, now okay, you could say Drogba, it was planned to take him off after 30 minutes or whatever it was, but the way it all happened, it was kind of like no, that seemed to be that's what they were going to do. The fact that it was in the 26 minute blah 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 blah, which is a bit.
I don't think it's any secret that Terry actually requested it.
Yeah,
well, that's been out there in the media.
And then there's talk of people investigating betting patterns, and you get all kind of interesting stuff there. So
it's a problem. But also, I think with that, you kind of, does it have to get really, really poor? Does it have to get really, really awful? Does it have to get to the bottom of the barrel of this mawkishness, this stupidity before it gets better? Do we have to just draw a line under this and go, this has been a season full of banners and reprehensible plain banner work and just crap, applauses every second minute of the bloody match? Do we have to just draw a line under this? It's got really bad. Let's just have none of this ever again. Because this season has been dog shit.
Pete!
Dog shit.
Is that going to go on the GIF we're going to put on the Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, this season...
End of season round at me going, this has been dog shit.
Peter, Newcastle won a league title this season. This is it, isn't it?
And
you
don't know what to do. Yeah. I'm not happy. You know and they spoiled it with flying a bloody banner over the bloody Sunderland match, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Some dickhead.
I don't know if they spoiled it. You're still going up.
To be fair, if you're a Chelsea fan, you probably quite enjoyed the season.
Yeah. And also, Terry's not really been sort of... You know, he's not really been very visible this season, isn't it? So how fitting that his final contribution to the game would be one that denigrates it.
He got really annoyed when they went a goal down as well. But you know, Roy Smith in the Times put it well. He said that John Terry appears to be a man who's so desperate to enrich his reputation, all he's done in his final season is essentially diminish it. Yeah. If you look at that, I mean, I know it's, you know, I don't want to... It's not even really in my day anyway, because it was long before my day. But whenever this sort of stuff happens, and Pete's right when he says mawkishness, but whenever this sort of stuff happens, I'm always reminded of that YouTube video of Bob Paisley being forced into doing This Is Your Life with on the BBC. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't remember that, it's like a show where they celebrate someone's life, has achieved great things. And apparently it took them absolutely ages, like months of a massive orchestrated thing, because he just didn't want any fuss. And this is a guy who won the European Cup three times as a manager. You know, it's the complete pyro opposite to that, and it reminds me of that Clay Davis quote in The Wire. It makes me sad, motherfucker, how far we done for.
There's not quite dignity anymore.
That's a bit rich, Donaldson.
And that's why he should be shot. Started the show.
One of the things I read today was comparing him to N'Golo Kante, which is perhaps unfair, because Kante won a couple of big awards, didn't he, this season, and it hasn't really made much fuss. But the great thing I learned about that is that he drives a Mini.
Who can
I like the thought of that. Just nipping in the gas.
I'd be surprised if he did it Fred Flintstone style as well. He's that sort of strong and quick and all the rest of it. But I think with John Terry, it is a shame, because he's had a phenomenal career. Absolutely phenomenal career. And you're right when you say that about the about this send-off, because now we're talking about how silly the send-off is for a guy who's had a blisteringly good career.
He just doesn't understand that his career itself, his playing career itself, is testament enough to what he's achieved. And he doesn't need to ram that home any more than his playing career would have done anyway. And it is a wider point about Chelsea generally. Chelsea are a club who, I mean, we talk about Liverpool, Manchester United, and all these other big clubs in the country, and how, you know, their golden years, whether they be in the 80s or Liverpool or the 70s or whatever, and then in the 90s with United and all this other stuff. Chelsea are a club who are very much burnishing their reputation and making their history now, aren't they? And there was something in the Evening Standard this week, and they named the top 10 Chelsea players ever. Five of the top six were players who've played for them in the last 20 years. You know, it was like Lampard, Terry, Zola, Cech, and the only one who wasn't was Osgood. So this is a team who it's a very modern story, isn't it, Chelsea? So in a way, it's almost a bit like they are so desperate to celebrate genuine club greats who unquestionably are their best ever players in Lampard and Terry, that they just go way over the top of it, and someone like Terry's reputation and his ego is able just to run wild without anyone sort of reining in or checking it at all.
You didn't have, I mean, I know it's a different situation a bit, but, you know, a few comparisons could have been made with Zabaleta and Man City, and that was done without a fuss.
I think, though, the problem for both Chelsea and City as well, with being sort of very recently moneyed sort of nouveau riche super clubs, is there's a danger they feel a bit more like a brand than a club. So there is this kind of real desire to celebrate these things, as you say.
And having said that, Liverpool did do a sort of farewell tour for Steven Gerrard, didn't they? So I forgot about that.
There we are. Harry Kane. Let's talk about Harry Kane and Spurs. They beat Hull 7-1. Kane, as we said, made sure he got the golden boot. Bad end to Marco Silva's career if it was his last match at Hull, which it almost certainly is.
Dele Alli looks embarrassed to score, and that was only at 3-0.
Yeah, they didn't stop though, did they?
No.
This is like when Germany said at half time against Brazil in the semi final, "Oh, we felt a bit bad, so we better keep the score down." But why didn't you then?
Basically, in the last 72 or so hours since I said that it's a straight shootout between Sanchez and Lukaku for the golden boot, Harry Kane's got 7 Premier League.
G'd him up.
Hull sort of scored theirs. I go, "Oh, can we have one?" And then Spurs went, "Yeah, you can, but what
follows will be goal-fest.
with Kane, you've got to, I mean, it's hard to, not that you necessarily look for a weakness in a player's game, but it's hard to find one with him. And if you look at the...
He's got the lot.
29 Premier League goals. If you look back over the years in terms of the top scorers charts, season by season, he's in pretty exalted company. I mean, mm-hmm. he's in Thierry Henry, Luis Suarez, Cristiano Ronaldo, Alan Shearer, those types of players. He's got to be considered... one of the very best strikers in the world now. He scores every type of goal as well.
I know that when people say, when talk about most improved player, it's often given to the guy's a bit of a duffer in the side and all the rest of it. Not that he's been given that award or anything, but you look at how much he's improved in the last few years. Mm. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, Clive Allen said, the biggest difference between Harry Kane and a lot of the other young players we've got here, this is at the time, he said Kane loves football.
It's breathtaking. Because when he was coming onto the scene, when he played in goal that time for a minute or two, he looked like he's got the tools to be a pretty decent Premier League striker.
He might get a move to Stoke in the future, sort of thing.
Perhaps he's not like lightning quick. He's not, particularly skillful in a kind of flashy kind of sense. He doesn't sort of beat men for fun like a sort of a nippy winger or anything like that. You think to yourself, generally speaking, he's a pretty good all-round footballer.
But his positional play is very important.
His close control is amazing.
But
as well.
His improvement has been in all those areas. Yeah. So when you improve tenfold in all those areas, you become a pretty damn good centre forward.
And he's such a direct player as well. It's very difficult to shut him out of a game.
Yeah.
I think that's perhaps an advantage he has over Romelu Lukaku. Like Kane just needs a sniff of something and it'll turn into a chance.
And Kane doesn't seem to do anything different when he's playing in a big game. Mm. I think Lukaku can try a little bit. And it might be to do with the fact that Everton perhaps struggle to feed him as much against bigger, better teams, and Spurs don't so much. But Kane doesn't seem to change. I remember I said a while battle when Spurs beat Arsenal, and for me the most impressive thing was they just played the game. They didn't care about who they were playing against. Kane's like that against everyone. He plays the same way, treats everyone the same, which is basically with disdain, and just rams the goals home. 29 this season,
absolutely incredible,
absolutely remarkable.
And before we go to the Premier League predictions, quickly to Manchester United, obviously won 2-0. Wayne Rooney going off for a 16-year-old lad while he was wearing the armband and all.
It
looks like a farewell, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Although he didn't, well, I mean, I doubt he was offered a farewell because he clearly wants to stay at Manchester United and all the rest of it. But Could be the last of Rooney.
I'm confused as to why Everton seem to be. I mean, that rumor about Everton won't go away. I don't know. I don't really know why. Other than the fact that he's an Everton fan and he's from the area and all that stuff, I don't really know why they want him.
Because Koeman mentioned it. Koeman said that they would.
Yeah, but I don't know why he wants him. I don't know why. It's the same with John Terry going to another Premier League club. Mm. I mean, look, Terry's had an amazing career, and we've done that. And I don't want to denigrate the guy straight away, but in my opinion, Terry's absolutely gone. There's no way another Premier League team should be signing John Terry unless it's on a coach capacity.
But there is another Premier League side that should sign Wayne Rooney in the form of Newcastle United.
Well, that would be lovely for
it
this show.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
that would be lovely for this show, yeah. Well. But I can't see what Rooney's got to offer a club with Everton's ambitions at this stage.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah, it's about... Like, I mean, he could certainly do a job for a Premier League club, but you've got the wages issues. But yeah, it's anyone sort of aiming high... What's he had?
Very true. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to open the envelope to reveal our Premier League predictions that we gave this season. I'm concerned.
Yeah. Do you want me to give you guys, should I give everyone a roundup?
Because please they weren't do. Listening please
the first,
do.
So the first week of the first show of the season this year, we basically re-upped the thing we do for international tournaments. We do a list of predictions in a sealed envelope, each of us, and we reveal them at the end, i.e. now. So the categories we worked on were predict the Premier League top four, will Leicester City finish, who's going to be the top goal scorer, the most red cards, obviously individual red cards, first manager sacked, PFA player of the year, and which Premier League club will go furthest in the Champions League. Now, the only request I've got is I do peaks. I really, really want to do peaks.
I'm opening the envelope now, ladies and gentlemen. This is.
I don't remember what I put.
Oh,
of course you don't.
Yeah. Marcus is. You know, Marcus is quite competitive about this stuff.
Yeah, he really hates it when he loses as well.
I'm going to be gutted.
There's peaks.
Decent.
Right. Okay.
Jimbo, you have mine because you're the kindest.
I don't remember making them.
I love Luke's.
Right, here we go. So we'll go, Marcus. Should we go in opening question order?
Yeah, we can.
So the first one is...
Do we not go round?
Okay, let's go round. The first category is predict the Premier League top four.
Okay. Right.
So, Marcus, you go first.
This is Luke's. Top four. Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea. Chelsea obviously in fourth. So
I've got three out of four.
You've got three out of four.
That's not too bad.
But in the wrong order.
I don't that matters. Does okay. It?
I mean, the first definitely matters.
Yeah.
That's you're quite not dishing crucial. Out the cash.
Peter, you're reading out Jim's.
I am reading out Jim's. The Premier League top four will be City, Chelsea, Arsenal. Spurs.
Arsenal third.
Dreaming.
Absolutely you're dreaming. You're going to get your Tottenham.
You've got three out of four as well, Jim. That's not bad. Exactly.
You've got
three out of four, you losers.
Yeah. We haven't heard Arles yet.
Yeah. So you've got, so you got Marcus.
I've got Marcus here. First, Manchester City. Yeah. Second, Spurs. Third, Man United. Fourth, Chelsea. Mm. So
three out of four as well. Yeah, and Pete's gone for first Sunderland, second Aston. No, Pete's got Chelsea, City, United, and Arsenal. So he's got two out of four.
On, Chelsea.
You predicted Chelsea.
Gonna
really?
Make it a blue day.
That's very impressive from Peter. Pete won the predictions in the Euro 2016.
He did.
I think he's on.
So the next category is which position Leicester will finish in.
Yeah, where are Leicester going to finish, Luke?
Well, just to let you know, they finished 12th.
Yeah,
they finished 12th.
You said they would finish 8th.
Okay, four places. Out. That's not
Which,
too bad.
To be fair, they probably should have done at least. Let's be fair.
Hey, what's Jim got?
Jim said 7th.
Okay.
Marcus said 7th.
Okay, so I'm closest so far.
Pete
said 15th. Yeah. Three out.
You were
very negative on them at the start of the season.
I thought they were going to be relegation candidates.
I think Pete takes that one.
He does. Pete takes that one.
Yeah. All right.
Top goal scorer next, isn't it?
Top goal scorer. Luke, you put...
Well, no, I'm going to tell you who it was first. Always the same.
Well, we talked about that.
Harry Kane, 29 goals.
You said Sergio Aguero.
Okay. That's not so bad.
No.
It's wrong.
Jim also said Sergio Aguero.
Yeah. Also wrong.
Yeah.
I love this. Marcus went for Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Of course I did.
Oh, God.
I thought, you know,
romantic.
And if not for injuries, he would have been. So half a point to me.
Yeah. Pete went for Diego Costa, so none of us got that.
None of us got that. Most red cards.
Well,
yeah, not too bad.
Off of last season's performance, I shouldn't have got that.
Most red cards. It was a joint prize for this. In reality, Fernandinho, Granit Xhaka, and Miguel Britos all got two red cards. Mm.
That seems like not a lot.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not a lot at all. Curtis Davis is what Luke put.
Yeah, I don't know where I got that from. He's a bit do you know what? He'll play every game.
Hazard.
They're going to be up against it, and he does like to dive in. That's probably right.
Okay.
Peter?
Jim went for Granit Xhaka as well.
Oh, you got it!
Yeah.
What a mate. God.
Marcus went for Victor Wanyama.
He was too disciplined.
He wasn't he? We were only saying that the other week.
Pete went for Jamie Vardy.
Well, if you eat that
contributed
many Skittles.
15th.
Well done, Jim.
Yeah, he got a red last season, of course. but there we are. First manager sacked.
And the correct answer here was Francesco Guidolin on the 3rd of October.
And Luke Moore was correct.
Yes!
Oh, well done.
I got that one right. Get in there!
That feels like so long ago,
yeah, I know, right?
My goodness. Peter, what did Jim put?
Jim went for Alan Pardew. Yeah.
As did Marcus Speller.
Yeah. I thought about Guidolin and I thought, no.
Trying to make me happy.
As did Pete Dawson.
Yeah.
Three times. He wrote Alan Pardew.
I thought I'd gone for Walter Mazzarri. I must have changed my mind. I thought I'd sort of play into his percentages. That would have been wrong as well. But
there we are. Player of the Year. Which was, of course, N'Golo Kante.
Yeah, and the shortlist was Harry Kane, N'Golo Kante, Alexis Sanchez, Zlatan, Romelu Lukaku and Eden Hazard. Mm-hmm. But the winner was N'Golo Kante.
The winner was, but you put Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
He was shortlisted.
Yeah.
As was Alexis Sanchez, which Jim went for.
Yeah. Mm.
As wasn't Eric Lamella.
Yeah.
Which Marcus
injury faulted me again.
And
he was on for a big season.
Yeah.
Apart from that injury.
Pete went for Emil Heskey.
Yeah.
No, Pete went for Eden Hazard, also shortlisted. Yeah. The anchor of this show is the only man who didn't pick a shortlisted player.
Yeah, well, he would have won that if it weren't for that pesky injury. Which English club would go furthest in the Champions League? Of course, it was Leicester City.
With a quarterfinal appearance.
Yeah, that's right. So Luke was wrong when he said Man City.
Mm.
Pete, what did Jim say?
Club to go furthest in the Champions League, Man City.
Marcus said the same, Man City.
Oh.
And Pete said Man City as well.
Yeah, we
had high hopes for them, didn't
we? Yeah, we really did.
Mr. Pep.
All of us, apart from Pete, went for Man City to win the league and then go furthest in the Champions League. Mm. So there we are.
And the final category is relegated teams, Marcus, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And that was, of course, Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
Middlesbrough and Hull.
Mm. Luke, you got one correct. You said Hull, Burnley and Swansea.
Oh, it's close.
Has Hull got four L's in it?
Hull.
Burnley.
One out of three. That's fairly poor, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, Jim got two. Sunderland, Hull and Swansea.
Do you know what it's like? That's good effort, Jim. How did I not pick Sunderland?
Yeah, I know. To be fair to you, they kept getting away with it, and they had Moyes come in.
Moyes was going to do a decent job. He didn't. He disagreed with me before he started.
Yeah. So Marcus, you went for Hull, Burnley, and Swansea. So just the one.
Same. And Pete went, just put, a penis will be seen. No, Pete went Crystal Palace, incorrect. Swansea, incorrect. And Hull.
They were all in there.
We all picked Hull then, did we?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Well, we were all right. Correctly down on them.
Always good to get further confirmation that we all know absolutely nothing about football.
Yeah.
Dearly, I enjoyed that, guys. Yeah. Well done, everyone.
I think Jim won that, did he?
It's probably
I don't know. Can we get a listener to work
that out? I got Guidlin. I'm happy with that. I'm taking that with
the bank. Get a listener to work that out. My goodness. Right. Come to the Hackney Empire.
Well done, football.
Come to the Hackney Empire. When we predict that we're going to have a lovely time. So make what you will of that after those predictions. But it's going to be great. It's this Saturday, for crying out loud.
Still a few tickets left.
I've been planning things all week. It's going to be exciting.
And for those of you who entered the competition to win a pair of tickets, you will have received an email into your inbox by now, by the time you're hearing this, if you've won. So do check that.
And if you haven't, buy some bloody tickets.
If you haven't, there's still tickets available to buy. So you've already shown us that you're available. Because you've entered.
Yeah.
We know you've got nothing on.
You cleared your hand, mate.
Yeah, so
you're getting spammed.
Get yourself down there. Or the email campaign will never cease.
Yeah. There we are. Right.
The hands of Pete Donaldson.
We'll be like LinkedIn.
Indeed we will. More European titles to be talked about after this.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystal's.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out this Friday. Oh, it's going to be a good one. We're going to predict the FA Cup final.
What European final are we starting with, Marcus?
The League One playoff final. which in Europe,
technically,
isn't it?
Yeah, for now.
You're not in Europe anymore. Yes, I am, actually, thank you.
We've always been in Europe. Geographically, Millwall won it with a late Steve Morrison goal.
They did.
A great shame that some of the fans run onto the pitch.
Yeah. No, I'm not having this.
What?
Well, all right. They made
there are pitch invasions every week near the end of the season. Yeah. In up and down the land. He had two lads snorting bloody drugs on the field at White Hart Lane.
And that
living
was
up
a shame.
To his name. Yeah, it was a shame.
No, but Pete,
because it's with Millwall, suddenly it's disgusting.
But they were having a go. They were laughing at the players and Stuart McCall, weren't they?
Yeah, that's allowed.
I've got no beef with either Millwall or Bradford. That is quite funny. Just indulge me. There's something very, very British about running on the pitch and you've just got your own team promoted to make a point to laugh in the face of the people who haven't been promoted.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It is awful, but in a funny way. And to be fair to the other Millwall fans, they're all shouting for the other fans to get off the pitch.
No, this is not,
And so have you tried to get on the pitch at Wembley?
It's
hard. It's difficult.
Fair, actually,
they have those wire.
It's like chicken, it's almost like cattle grids for humans.
It is. Yeah. Suspended human cattle grids. They should really enter the Crystal Maze or something,
Millwall have obviously had a very difficult season off the pitch, but on the pitch it's been a season of late goals for them. I remember a few late goals in their FA Cup run.
Ooh.
And obviously this Morrison character. I was about to say, this Morrison goal came quite late as well. In the 86th minute.
Nice to see Kevin Pressman back on the sidelines.
He used to be a real fat lad, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He used to be when he was a player.
Yeah, he was.
He was wide. Is he the last fat goalie?
It's Jim, it's one of those things where in my mind he got lobbed every week.
just him sort of arcing backward falling tree.
If you watch any of those kind of 90s kind of, it's usually like either Andy Cole or Alan Shearer or Ian Wright, those kind of players who scored like a 300 billion goals on Sky late at night. Everyone gets chipped all the time.
And that's
the positional sense, and they're so slow getting back.
That's one of the things you come back to people when they say, oh yeah, football's not what it used to be. If you watch some of those 90s games,
stinking goalkeeper
was absolutely dreadful. By there was a lot of good players who stood out, but there was some absolutely terrible football on display.
Yeah, there we are. In the Scottish Premiership, Celtic ended the season unbeaten. That is very impressive. I don't care if the Rangers are a bit piss poor at the moment. You know, they're not that terrible. They finished third, I think. But that is seriously impressive from Brendan Rodgers.
Well over 100 years since that's been done, isn't it?
Yeah, 1898 to 99 season was the last time it happened.
They finished with 106
points. 106
points. Will Brendan be looking?
I've got 106 points. That's what Brendan Rodgers said.
Will Brendan be having a little look over Hadrian's Wall, Marcus? Come back south of the border?
Maybe.
Does he fancy that Watford job?
Sunderland.
Does he fancy that Watford job?
You know what? That goes to show, doesn't it? He's just gone unbeaten with Celtic in a whole league campaign. 106 points, and you're linking him to the Watford job.
You were tipping him for Arsenal on Forza Ramble the other week.
I think that's more like it, Jim.
Matt Zari went to Watford, and he took Napoli to second, and he only won the cup with. Yeah. Was it Napoli as well? Won the cup with Napoli as well? Yeah.
106 points, was it?
No, it wasn't. No. Job swap. That's what I'm saying.
I tell you what, he's whatever you think, he's been a breath of fresh air up there.
He has.
Been a breath
and
of fresh
I think
air.
Both sides of Glasgow would agree with that. They really would.
To be fair, like, people say it's only Scotland. That is seriously impressive. A whole season unbeaten.
Yeah.
It is magnificent. Absolutely magnificent.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, someone else who's gone a whole season unbeaten again, Colo Touré. Double invincible.
There you
wow.
go.
Really?
Of course he is. He's playing there.
Yeah, because he's been there. He's been there for a while.
I wonder if anyone's away done from that. Brendan Rodgers.
I think it's an amazing achievement from Colo.
Yeah. Has anyone ever done that before?
What's that?
I'd like to know that.
Gone double invincible.
That's no, another
surely
long,
not.
That's
back to back.
Like Mario in two pills.
It's not. What is this now? One.
It's from Mario.
It's from Mario, mate.
It's because Pete's saying it sounds seedy, but it's actually quite innocent.
One, it's not back to back because there's a gap in between.
No, I know, that's what Pete was asking if someone's done it back-to-back, weren't he?
Explain yourself.
All right, back-to-back as in the two Invincibles have...
What's the Mario thing? I missed it.
Don't Mario, worry, at some point, most platformers, there will be an invincibility capability that you can take.
Oh, the Starman.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right.
Edit that.
Not a pill, is it? It's a star.
Let's go to the second tier in French football. Peter! Because this was
either
absolutely magnificent.
Either correct me at the time, don't come back Amiens at me later.
Is how you, I think you might pronounce it. Promoted for the first... We're talking about the French League 2.
Right.
Right?
Well, I want you to say that French word again.
It's not Amiens, is it?
Because you're not getting away with that.
Amiens. They promoted for the first time the French top flight in their 116-year history with a 96th-minute winner.
The scenes were incredible.
Scenes of a different nature.
Whole bench.
Yeah.
On.
No. It wasn't just bench.
Running over the other side of the field as well.
You got the whole bench. You got backroom staff, subs and all the rest of it. Club officials. Yeah.
the bench itself ripped itself out of the ground and ran onto
when
the pitch.
You've got men with lanyards in suits. You know, a guy who's just bought a couple of shares in the club on the pitch.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible stuff.
But where they were going to be.
It upsets Stuart McCall, so I'm against it.
Cut the mirror fan just jumped on.
Yeah, fair enough. You did change my mind slightly about that picture, mate, isn't it, Wembley? Yeah. I'm not so scathing about it anymore. But they were set to finish sixth had they not have scored that goal.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Well, that's
you
how
go from sixth to getting promoted.
It's
in a minute.
Absolutely different class, isn't it? And of course, if they'd have finished sixth, they wouldn't have even got a playoff spot. But every one of the top six sides won their games. They all did their job.
And the greatest thing about that was Troyes were 2-0 down against Sochaux.
Mm.
And they came back, battled all the way back to win 3-2, thought they were going to be promoted, and Amiens scored that goal, and it meant they're now in the playoffs.
Wasn't there also a team that won 6-2?
Yeah.
And it counted for nothing.
Oh. That's right. Strasbourg, they won the title with a 2-1 win. That's their fourth promotion in 6 years after being put into liquidation in 2011 and being put down to the fifth tier. Le Pompey Highway.
Yeah.
Mm. So what I love about that is obviously we talked about it, you know, the table talked for itself. It was quite magnificent going into that final day.
Was it better than the final day in the Premier League?
God, that was dull, wasn't it?
We got 37 goals piped down.
Yeah.
But it wasn't much to play for.
Well, Southampton did secure eighth, didn't they?
They did. That was your big story, wasn't it?
Massive story. And Bournemouth in ninth as well. Great stuff for the South Coast.
That is an incredible achievement from Bournemouth, isn't it? To finish ninth.
Yeah, South Coast football's back.
Where it's at.
Portsmouth won their league, you know.
Won the league, yeah.
Two sides in the top half of the Premier League.
Sold the club as well this week, Portsmouth.
Yeah.
There you go, see.
That's it, yeah.
You don't mention that, do you?
Still going to do the football?
Proper South Coast.
Still going to do football?
No, probably not. What's the point?
In La Liga, it went down to the last day of the season. Real Madrid wrapped up that title with a 2-0 win away to Malaga. I love that because Malaga's a tricky place to go.
Yeah.
In the past few seasons, they've had actually quite a decent defence. Carlos Kameni in goal is a very good goalkeeper, so they can be quite hard to score against.
Yeah, Barcelona lost against Malaga a couple of months ago.
Right, and so tricky place to go. Is there going to be nerves? You know, they haven't won the league for 5 years. Zidane, of course, in charge, you know, won the Champions League last season but didn't win the league, couldn't quite get to Barcelona, understandably so. 90 seconds in, Ronaldo, cheers. Let's just calm down.
See you later.
I love that. It's just so funny. Like
they've scored in every game they've played this season.
They have been different class.
Can we talk about the Jordi Alba dive in the Barcelona game?
Oh, my God. That might be the worst dive I've ever seen. I know that sounds like an exaggeration, but if you see it, there's no one anywhere near him.
I didn't, when he first did it, I couldn't really work out what he'd done because he looked so confused. It looked to me, the way he did it, like he just caught his studs in the turf or something, because he didn't seem to be appealing straight away. But if you look at the replay from the, from a certain angle, for those who haven't seen it, Alba took a dive and won Barcelona a penalty. It's no exaggeration to say, from the right angle, if you see it on the replay, there's not a player within 3 yards of him. It's not even that, oh, there was a coming together and there was no contact. You remember the Dele Alli dive from earlier in the season? Yep. There's no contact, but it was happened very fast. Yeah, they're coming together with players. You know, it's a little bit of a different kettle of fish. Terrible dive, nonetheless. But this Jordi Alba thing, there is no one in the same postcode.
It's an absolute joke. It was worse than that Snodgrass one.
And that was a terrible one as well. Worse than that one, definitely.
People say Barcelona get a few decisions and all that.
My God, yeah.
Certainly got that one.
The penalty was saved, though, wasn't it?
It was. So another messy penalty miss.
Yeah. He did score 37 league goals this season.
Yeah, I'm talking about
another messy penalty.
Imagine how many get if he scored a penalty.
You know, Ronaldo has already scored in his game. You know, won the league, for crying out loud.
So that's only his second league title with Madrid, isn't it? It's crazy to think that.
Ronaldo's, yeah. Bale got his first. It was Bale's
of
first
course,
as well.
But yeah, it's remarkable. Arguably the biggest side in the world. You know, hadn't won the league for a while. So this actually meant a hell of a lot. I know that sounds a bit stupid to say a league title, but this one was a seriously important one for Real Madrid to finally get back on the wagon.
I like to think we helped them along. With our support in the Bernabeu.
Yeah. Even though we were sort of cheering on it later.
Yeah.
From the inside. They were singing derogatory things about Gerard Piqué, all good grown-up stuff. Yeah. But across Europe, in Germany, former Real Madrid manager Carlo Ancelotti was having a lovely old time. Did you see this? Celebrating Bayern's title win. The team were up on a... They were up on a balcony, you know, like often in German title celebrations, I think they just find a balcony above a square and they just lift the trophy and everyone's celebrating. I'm sure there's more structure to it than that. Carlo Ancelotti was past the mic, obviously, to say a few things. Just burst into song.
Did he?
Yeah.
In German?
I've no idea what he was saying. I think it was in Italian.
Did he have a good voice or not?
He wasn't bad at all.
Was it better than when Ranieri got the opera singer in?
No, the opera singer was better than Carlo Ancelotti.
I love that, though. If you're a top-level manager, you've got to have a turn ready, just in case you win something.
I think it's great. But then later, there was a proper bash.
Bocelli?
Yeah, Andrea Bocelli.
But there was a proper bash for Bayern a little bit later, where a few people performed, and Carlo was singing a duet with Anastasia.
That is incredible.
Wow.
I preferred his song on the balcony, I have to say.
John Terry joining at any point.
He was dancing around in his shorts.
I got really confused there because I always get Anastasia mixed up with Shakira. I was like, what's she doing?
Oh no, she was defending her husband.
Barcelona didn't win the title, so she might as well go somewhere.
It's got to earn a euro somewhere. Oh, dearie me. What else? Oh, I thought it worth mentioning Luis Enrique equaled Pep Guardiola's win record in La Liga.
Oh, wow.
An ounce of a consolation, perhaps.
Do you reckon he'll be happy about that?
I think he'll be
happy. Would you rather have won the league title? Yeah.
He'd have broken it, he'd have won the league.
I think he should have walked away saying, all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
Hey? There we are. It's time for highlights of the weekend.
Highlights of the weekend with me. You didn't use the full name, Marcus. I wasn't ready for the prompt.
I don't know who does it these days.
What have we got here? Brian Cullerton says, did you guys see Lazio fans unfurling a banner of begrudging respect for Francesco Totti during their game against Inter at the Olympico? Translated, it said, enemies for a lifetime, but we salute you, Francesco Totti.
Fair one.
Nice touch.
That's great.
Simon O'Brien says, the John Terry incident, as it will become to know, you know, is the low light of all football ever, possibly the low light of all humanity ever, to which Quentin Sake replied saying, it could be argued, it's not even the lowlight of John Terry's career.
What a shame.
Here from Sean Lowry, he says, David Moyes, upon witnessing his team losing 3-1 to the champions, decided that the only course of action to save the match was to bring on Darren Gibson in the 87th minute and promptly see his team concede 2 more goals. Meanwhile, leaving 3 youngsters on the bench who are not likely to see the Premier League with Sunderland ever again. So at least Daz and Geraldine got to add another appearance to their PL records. Ben Roberts, Moyes post-match comment, I'm gutted we've been relegated and really disappointed with the way the season has gone, but what do you do? Football has winners and there are people who lose.
I like that. Very philosophical.
Is he defining the role for future employers, says
Maybe.
Ben.
Maybe.
Esteban Carranza, good name, he says, my highlight of the weekend was being tagged in 50 or so Europa League memes because apparently I'm the only Arsenal supporter people know. Shame. Mark Ridley makes a point about Tom Davies being subbed off with the 26 on his back in the 26th minute. People on the Facebook group saying, where was his guard of honour? Not quite earned one just yet, I would have thought. Harry Chapman got in touch and told me about the Colo Torre being invincible twice, so thanks for that, Harry. 13 years apart they were as well. Impressive, really.
Harry Chapman Chapman is a name of yesteryear's glory.
Indeed. And I'll finish on this one from Lewis Lloyd Kinnings. My highlight was running into a seriously drunk Pete at the Great Escape Festival in Brighton late on Thursday night, as we were both being denied entry into a party. Good to know we're both on the same level.
Well, he was denied entry for being Pete Donaldson, an old, what's his name, sorry?
Lewis Lloyd Kinnings.
Yeah, that man.
Third of his name.
From LLK.
That man from yesteryear as well. He was denied entry because he was with Pete Donaldson. Yeah. That's what I think.
Can I just say, Thursday night, we're doing the show. So that's what Pete's up to.
Well, I've got to cover music.
Yeah.
And I've got to let music cover me.
That's what you call it, isn't it?
Now, Peter. Oh, go on.
Hello.
You were going to say.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that it was good news for another side in the northeast, South Shields, wasn't it?
Huge. They win everything all the time.
They did.
4-0.
They won the Northern League too, obviously, but they won the FA Vars.
Would they beat Sunderland?
On current form, without a shadow. But Julio Arca and his mob at Wembley, which is glorious to see. There's some nice things written about Julio Arca, I think in The Guardian this week, worth checking out. And York City as well, they won the FA Trophy, which is good for them because they were relegated from the National League in the sort of the non-league day that they have at Wembley. They had two finals.
But it's nice to see that one definitely North East team and one sort of North East team doing something, because obviously Middlesbrough and Sunderland and
Newcastle can't take the strain themselves, can they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've got one here. Did you see that referee in that MLS game?
No.
He needed to go and talk to his assistant.
I did see it. Did you see it?
He needed to go and talk to his assistant, but he was fed up with the players surrounding him. So he got his vanishing spray.
Sprayed them in the eye?
No, and he sprayed it and said, anyone who comes any closer will be booked while I talk to my assistant. And they all stood behind the line.
That's great.
And he was like 10 yards away talking to the assistant. And they're all standing there waiting to be told that they can move.
I was going to say he started to like pepper spray them.
That'd be improvisation.
And then, of course, the evidence would have vanished him.
Indeed. I think it would have been on camera. And I've got one more. A lot of people are asking me where they can watch the game on the FA Cup final ahead of our live show, and I am reliably informed in Hackney the Pub on the Park, the Perseverance and the Hare will all be showing the game. They're all 10 minutes walk from Hackney Empire, so you don't need to miss out.
Should we give Pete's address out now?
Yeah, could do. He'll do that himself, I expect.
There we are.
Pete's place, by the way, is not 10 minutes walk from Hackney Empire.
No.
It's about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours if you're pissed.
Yeah. Which you always are.
10 minute motorbike taxi though, Peter. Then you will be booking them. But that's it. Any more for any more?
Nope.
Marvellous stuff. Well, there we are. The Premier League season has finished, but we've got the joys of the FA Cup final and Hackney Empire on Saturday. We shall see you there. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Hackney Empire.
Metal dish cover they put over room service plates.
Right.
I don't know. I
had a full one of them.
Eating your way into one of them.
No.
At McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken and Pizza Hut.
Can we please start?
Take it away.
I was about to.
Right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.